Welcome to our podcast for college Catholics, where we discuss faith and spirituality from a Catholic perspective. Today we welcome Deacon Benjamin King, a transitional deacon of Midas Christi, and that means transitional deacon, means that he has been through the formation to be a priest, and he has now received the sacrament of holy orders and the degree of a deacon, which is one step before the priesthood. So we say transitional deacon because he's not going to be a permanent deacon, but he's a deacon as a step toward the priesthood. So Deacon Benjamin King was born in Dallas in 1988, and soon afterward his family moved to Virginia when he was still very young, and there he grew up in Northern Virginia. He went to college in Virginia Tech and graduated in 2011. After graduation, he worked in finance for almost a year and a half. And then in 2013, he heard about Midas Christi and other religious, while he was visiting other religious orders as well, he decided to enter the Formation House in Midas Christi in October 2013 to begin his studies. And he was ordained a transitional deacon in 2023, March 31st. Deacon Benjamin, welcome. How are you doing?
Thank you, Father Patrick. I'm doing great, doing fantastic. Just got back from a retreat over this weekend, actually preaching with you in Chicago.
Very good. Yeah, at least you remember that much, that I was in the retreat as well.
Yes, yes, I didn't forget you.
Very good. And is there any interesting anecdote in your recent days or in your life that you want to share with us?
Recent days? Certainly
or,
so.
Or in your formation, whatever, yeah. Whatever.
You know, there's a funny story, actually. It's one I always remember and always share with people. And it was the first time I came back to the United States when I was in Argentina.
Right, because just for everyone to know, our priests go to Argentina for several years, then go to Rome to study theology, and then come back to the U.S., those who come from the U.S. So while Deacon Benjamin was in Argentina, his formation, what happened?
So I was at the mother house in Argentina, and I was going to go visit my family. And so I was coming back, long flight, it was 2 a.m., 3 a.m., I'd gotten to my layover in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was there with, no money, no phone.
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night, early morning, and not many people in the airport. And nothing special for me, the typical for us religious, many times we don't have, right, a lot of things, the vow of poverty. So it's a beautiful way to just kind of be relaxed in a certain sense.
Right, and you trust in divine providence,
right,
on your needs, in a sense.
Exactly. And so I was there, and I began speaking with an older gentleman from Atlanta. And we just were kind of chatting a bit, and I asked him if I could use his cell phone to try to reach out to my family, let him know everything was okay, and I was back in the United States, and he said, you don't have a cell phone? How is that possible? How could you not have a cell phone? No, I don't have a cell phone. I'm a religious, and, I have a phone that I share with the community. Okay, well, over there's a pay phone. Do you want to use a pay phone? Actually, I don't have any money either, I told him.
So, wow.
I didn't think anything of it, but at the moment, it kind of just blew his mind that someone could
shocked.
Be traveling. Absolutely, absolutely. And so I've always remembered that story. It's a good one to kind of always keep me aware of that vow of poverty and abandonment to God and trust in God, and how, well, we live so simply sometimes can really kind of wake people up around us and make them to reflect on that same thing.
Right. Absolutely. Very good one. And why don't you, because I brought you to the podcast to share a little bit your vocation story, how you discerned that, and maybe some helpful tips for other young people who are discerning. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, your vocation story? I said a little bit, but just I gave a little succinct, summarized version.
Okay.
So how it was that God first started manifesting his will to you and how you discerned his call.
Sure. Well, thanks be to God. I grew up with a Catholic education. I'm the youngest of four, so I'm the youngest. I'm the Benjamin.
The Benjamin.
Of the family, quite literally. And so I grew up in Virginia, as you mentioned at the beginning, and had a Catholic education all throughout my life. So I think that was, certainly something that, looking back, was key. And the fact that those seeds were being sown from a very early age. And actually, a funny story is that my best friend growing up wanted to be a priest. I never wanted to be a priest. It was something totally out of my mind. And he used to practice his homilies with me. And he'd make me sit down while he would practice his homilies. And I just, this guy's... You're a loser, man. You're never. This is going nowhere. I didn't say that, but it was funny to see how, as things went on, he kind of got away from that idea, and little by little, God was calling me towards that. So I think that's something I always remembered. But so going back to that, from kindergarten to eighth grade, I went to the Catholic school there at our parish, and had a, you know, looking back, a very good education, thanks be to God, human formation, but also, you know, in the faith. And actually there at our parish, they had a Eucharistic perpetual adoration chapel. I don't know when it was exactly began, but that's, you know, always in my memory from that time. And so why is that important? Because from a very early age, I was able to have a familiarity with God and the Blessed Sacrament. And my mom was always very devout, and sometimes she would take me with her, and I'd sit in the pews, or sometimes even religion class, they would take us students for a few minutes just to go see our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. And so from a very early age, you know, nothing fantastic or mystical experience, but having that familiarity really kind of set in stone the fact of our faith of that Jesus Christ is present there. And I think as I got further in my life, sometimes going, you know, further away from the devout life, let's say, especially in high school and college, that was something that I never lost, that conviction that Jesus Christ was present in the Blessed Sacrament, and it's the Catholic Church where that Blessed Sacrament is present. And so that helped me, you know, and sometimes in some wayward moments to not lose sight of home, to not lose sight of the place of truth and where God is. So that was really helpful. And actually, as I got to high school, I was the first of my kids, my family to go to a public school. So I went to public school, wanted to be, you know, a cool guy with all my friends, and we played sports and it was closer to home. But of course, that came with some challenges. And actually, I went to a compromise. I had a compromise with my mom. Okay, you can go to public school, but you have to be part of the youth group at the parish, and you have to go to a retreat with the youth group. And so it was actually at the first retreat that I went to, youth retreat, in my freshman year, where I had the moment of feeling like God was calling me.
Mm-hmm.
And not surprisingly, it was where? In adoration. So that seed that he had been planting in me from a very young age was able to, let's say, bear fruit in a certain sense, still very, very much, you know, in seed in a, at a very early age. I was 14 or 15 at this time. But I felt there the first moment of thinking God wants me for something. Like God's got a plan for me and he wants me. So that was scary. That was something that really kind of just shocked me. And at first I was all in, and I told my mom, she wasn't allowed to tell anybody else, but I told her, Mom, I think I might have a vocation and I think I need to go to Catholic college. But remember, I was a freshman in high school at this time. So that kind of, you know, was a moment of fervor, and it really just faded away, unfortunately. But the seed was planted, and I had felt God saying he wanted me. He wanted me completely for himself. So that idea of consecration and service totally for God, it kept just kind of tugging at my heart throughout the years. So fast forward, you know, that was when I was 15 years old. From then, all through high school and all through college, it was just kind of a never-ending roller coaster of, you know, feeling that God was calling me, having some moments of fervor, deepening in the faith, and then going further away. Parties, sports, friends, the typical life. I mean, nothing scandalous, but neither was it, neither was anything, you know, super devout.
What sports did you play?
So my favorite sport is basketball. I loved basketball. That was my favorite sport. But as a kid, like many of us, I played basketball, I played soccer, I played football, I played baseball, a little bit of everything.
Anyone on a competitive level?
So in college, I played a little intramural of basketball, but nothing more than that.
Well, that's good enough. Yeah,
thanks,
yeah,
brother. Thank you. I still think I'm competitive. I'm still
right. You were not in the NCAA, but
didn't make it. No, didn't make it.
You weren't in the intramural sports. That's good.
But you know, for my own defense, if from high school I got really into working with horses.
Uh huh.
My family has always had some property, and so we had horses and cattle, and I got really interested in working with horses. In fact, I wanted to work on a ranch one day, which is actually I studied agriculture in college. That was part of the idea, and so I got to compete a lot, showing horses. Something they call cutting, which no one probably knows what that is, but it's kind of a cowboy sport. Let's just call it that. Mm-hmm. And I got to go to the Quarter Horse Congress, the National Quarter Horse Congress. It's kind of like the World Series.
That's awesome.
It's in Columbus, Ohio. So that was an awesome experience.
That's great. Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you know how to ride a horse, that for sure.
I know how to ride a horse, yeah. I can say I also know how to fall off a horse. So that's
right. And you probably know how to train a horse, right?
Yep. Actually, I did that for several years, training horses, breaking horses, and in training them to work with cattle. And
what does it mean to break a horse? Because it doesn't mean what it sounds. So.
So it's, you know, when you have a wild horse, obviously you can't just get on it.
Right.
So there's that process of beginning the horse or starting the horse. We, you know, in colloquial terms, we call them breaking. You're breaking the horse.
Perfect. Perfect. Very good. Well, why don't you give us a go back? Let's go back to high school and college and what you were doing and let's move on from there with your vocation story.
Okay, vocation story. Well, so I went into college and graduated from there. That was in 2011. I had a degree in agricultural and economics. And also at that point, with all the years kind of worried about money and, you know, what I was going to be my place in the world. And so I thought, well, I need to work in finance. That's going to be where I'm going to find money, right? So my dream of working on a ranch and with horses kind of got swept under the rug with kind of the fears that the world places in us sometimes of needing to have security and needing to have money and success. And so, as providence would have it, my brother-in-law has a Northwestern Mutual branch. So he has an office where he does financial advising, insurance, investments, annuities. And so as I graduated, he offered, he said, if you want to come, you're not sure what you want to do with life yet, you can come down to South Carolina. You can work with me while you're figuring things out. So I did that, took that opportunity.
Cool.
And at the same time thinking, because like I said, it had never left me this kind of anguish or uncertainty about my life. God was constantly tugging at my heart, and I just kind of refused to accept that it could be a vocation to the religious life or the priestly life. So I was still kind of trying to figure things out. And I went down there thinking I would get away from my friends and the typical environment and not be able to figure things out. You know, not thinking about God or my vocation still, but just kind of in general, what's my plan for life?
Right. What to do with your life?
Exactly. I mean, typical. I mean, college is that time.
Of course.
We're all trying to figure that out. And so at least I had the right idea of, okay, got to get out of these distractions to figure that out. So I went down there and I was working for probably a year and a half, all said and done. But earlier, after about a year, I kind of was just kind of hit rock bottom. I was just kind of really sad. I wasn't happy with life. And to all outward appearances, everything was fantastic. I was able to go out every night with some of the friends, the good people I met down there, really honestly, really good people. But just kind of immersed in a really worldly world.
Right.
Money was the defining factor, going out to dinner, going out to play golf, vacations and traveling, you know, things that aren't bad in and of themselves.
Cars.
Exactly, cars. I had a nice little Lexus. I loved that car, little sports car. And so just a lot of distractions, things that you try to fill you up and it just stays empty. And so I
finally don't have any more of those in the religious life.
Well, actually, when I first came to visit, I still had the Lexus.
Uh-huh,
well. So I arrived here with that sports car, but I left it. I left
okay,
it.
Okay, very good.
Detached myself. And so that was an important moment because I think being away from all those distractions of my comforts, my home, my friends, I kind of had to figure things out. And being immersed in all that worldly world, let's say, to say it in a very obvious way, helped me to find out that wasn't going to fill me up, that's not where my happiness was. Something that, between you and me, I already knew.
Right.
Just trying to convince myself, or maybe convince God in a certain sense, that I could stay in the world. I could stay that path, let's say that vocation, that career.
Right, and also it's what the world tells us all the time, that's where our happiness is. This is the normal thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
To become a religious is weird.
Right, exactly.
Sort of, how are you going to do that, you know? And sometimes we have a natural thought that, no, that's not what I'm supposed to do. Obviously not, right? Nobody does that, you know?
Exactly.
So you're not thinking, oh, surely I'm going to do that nobody does. No, on the contrary. So it makes sense.
And in fact, oftentimes I think the biggest obstacle was that fear, right? That fear of missing out on something, or that fear of being weird, you know, that guy that left the world. I don't know. I'm not really sure. You know, we kind of make these phantoms in our minds.
Of course.
That once you say them, you say them out loud, you realize kind of how crazy they are. But we're often too afraid to speak them out, as it was my case for many years.
So where did you go from there? So you were
in South Carolina.
Working, South Carolina, finance, and not sure what was going on. You were not completely happy with how life was going.
Right, right.
You noticed that after the parties and the cars, then there was an emptiness.
Right,
and
exactly.
What happened then?
And so somewhere in my Catholic education, someone had spoken to me about St. Ignatius and the spiritual exercises.
St. Ignatius of Loyola.
St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Okay.
Yep, that's him. The creator, the author of the spiritual exercises. Right.
Okay.
And so we have, I had that idea in my mind that, okay, I'm not happy. I got to make a change. And I remember the saint who has this way of finding God's will for our lives.
Wow.
But I'd heard it right in the pure form. So I was thinking, man, I gotta leave everything for a month, more or less.
Right, because the spiritual exercises are like a retreat, a silent retreat that originally was written for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
to be practiced throughout 30 entire days of a retreat. So you leave your life, your daily life, your home and everything. Mm-hmm. And for 30 consecutive days, you're doing a silent retreat directed by a priest or something. So you were thinking, that's what I have to do.
Exactly. And I said, okay.
That's a little too much.
It's a little too much. it's kind of like going all in before you're sure, burning the bridge, right?
Right.
I have to quit my job if I'm going to do something like that. So, but I was so broken. I was so sad. I was so bad off in interiorly speaking that I was willing to do it if that's all the only option. So I made a deal with God. I said, I'm going to go to Mass. It was a Tuesday or Wednesday in the middle of the week, a normal day. And I wasn't going to daily Mass. I wasn't even always going to Mass on Sunday at that point. And so, so I'm going to go to Mass. So I got off work. It was whatever it was, 4:45. I think I left a little early to try to catch Mass at 5:15 or 5:30, let's say, something like that. And I go, and the priest, who I later find out doesn't usually preach on a daily Mass in this parish, he was preaching, and he preached about the need to find God's will in your life, St. Ignatius of Loyola, and the spiritual exercises.
Incredible.
So needless to say, I kind of just, looked up at that moment and realized God was throwing me a thunderbolt.
Right. Right.
Lightning was striking.
Or throwing you a donut.
Throwing me a
donut.
Hey,
get the donut.
Right.
It's tied up here to this.
It was an easy one. I couldn't close my eyes to it. I mean, it was right there. And so I was really touched. I was really moved. That was a powerful moment. So I was convinced. So I went back, and that night I was looking on my computer, trying to find retreats, people that preached a month-long retreat. Couldn't find anything. But I came across a Catholic forum, kind of like one of those old kind of chat rooms.
Right. Like a Facebook group.
Even before that, it was literally just like a chat room, a forum, a chat board.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And people would put on their, questions or comments, and they were talking about Milius Christi, and they were talking about weekend Ignatian retreats and how powerful they had been, just awesome testimonies. So this was in 2012. 2012. And so I was like, wow, fantastic, a weekend. That means I don't have to quit my job.
Right.
I can still say no, right? I can still tell God no.
It's a good compromise.
It was a great compromise. So God was throwing me another donut. He was giving me another option, another chance. And there was one coming up in Virginia. So I figured, okay, I take a day off from work. I go up, stay with my parents. I was in South Carolina, so it was about an 8-hour drive to get to Virginia. Yep, it was it. But again, at that moment, I was willing to do whatever it took.
And you had a Lexus.
and I had a Lexus. So it was a nice ride. It was a nice ride. So I got up there, I stayed with my folks, and I went to the retreat. And, I was waiting for lightning to strike, right? I was kind of like, okay, God, I'm here. I'm doing my part. Now you got to knock me off the horse, right? You have to knock me to the ground like St. Paul. And the retreat was really important for me. It was really important precisely because I didn't get that. That's not what happened. But I began to learn, especially with the help of the priest who was guiding that retreat, how to realize that God is speaking constantly. So my whole life, I began to tell this priest, actually, I didn't sign up to speak with him. Because at our retreats, oftentimes there's the opportunity to go to spiritual direction and ask any questions. And I was, no way, right? I wasn't going to sign up. But he called me.
Uh-huh.
It was the last day. No, it was Saturday night. So it was the last night, I guess you could say. And there was no one signed up. So he had time and we had some free time. And he asked me to come speak with him. And so we're just chatting and I was telling him my story. And I said, but Father, but I'm open to whatever God wants, but he's not telling me anything.
Right.
And he was like, listen, you just told me your whole life story. And it sounds like God's working in overdrive in your life. He kind of showed me how to see God's hand in those things, how he had moved me from here to there. I met this person, met that person, this happened, that happened. So long story short, I didn't get a thunderbolt, but I realized how to see God's providence and how he speaks throughout our lives, in the events of our life. And that changed everything because that was just a click. That was a before and an after.
Right.
And it gave me the confidence to begin to, see where he was leading me. In a easier way. So I quit my job after the retreat.
Wow, that was radical.
Yeah, it was radical, but I was, like I said, I needed to do something. So I quit that job, but it wasn't just, to nothing. I'd made a deal with my dad. I was going to go back, and the property of my family is kind of just like a hobby farm. So they had some horses, had some cattle, but it wasn't anything to be a business.
Right.
So we made a deal that I was going to go, and I would take some horses on, and I would train horses, and we would do the cattle thing together to try to make a business out of it.
Uh-huh.
And so again, thinking the same thing I thought when I went to South Carolina, this would be a good way to get out of the world and to concentrate. So while I was there, I did that for a little while. And finally, after about another year, I made the decision to visit Milius Christi
Oh, good.
Everything clicked, and that was it.
So, wow, very good.
Long story in a nutshell.
So, very good. Very good. Well, thank you very much. So, I have a question to help clarify.
Yeah.
So, you met Midas Christi, and you eventually came to the House of Formation.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you realize that God was asking you that to the extent that you would quit your job to, I don't know if you quit your job to do this, but
no.
How did you realize that God was saying this, showing you your will, and that showing his will, and that his will was to become a religious or a priest? How did you get to that point? Because one thing is to say, I thought, and mm-hmm. I wanted to make this decision. Good. Well, that's your decision. In any moment, was there any moment where you could tell God is asking this of me?
So I think I kind of mentioned more or less briefly the beginning when I was, a young man. So when I was 15-ish. And so that first moment in adoration, what was clear to me was that God was asking, that he wanted me. So I didn't get a voice, no, but there was a strong conviction
mm-hmm.
that he wanted me for something. He wanted all of me to do something. And so as the years went on, and almost always in adoration or in those kind of moments, which is why, I would, huge proponent of adoration. If anyone's asking out there, what can I do to start getting to know God better? Adoration, adoration, adoration. That intimacy and familiarity with Jesus Christ is key. And because I had that from a young age, it was easier for me to not hear him in a mystical way necessarily, but just kind of be open to that dialogue.
Right.
That simple prayer. And so what was planted there was this idea of a consecration, this idea of a total gift. And then as the years went on and, one thing after another, had a girlfriend, wasn't really happy with that. Sports, those fade away. The money, not the fulfillment of all our lives. The car, nice Lexus, but it wasn't everything. And the horses, the working on the ranch, great things, beautiful things, good things. But I never felt that the place that I could totally give myself.
Right.
And so to answer your question, I think it was that. It was, he had placed in me a desire to give myself totally to something, right? To something which was to him. And so I took that and I tried to place it in everything else. Try to give myself entirely to this person or this thing or that career. And it would just never felt right. And so when I knew about the religious life, I read the lives of the saints when I was younger. So those ideas were there. So it wasn't completely crazy to think, well, I might have a vocation. I didn't want to admit it, but it was there. And so after I had quit the job and gone to my parents' house to work on a ranch, I was still thinking, I might stay here. I may make this my life. It is what I always wanted to do. I had gone on the retreat, but I still wasn't convinced. In fact, the priest tried to stay in contact. He wanted to keep helping me, and I just wouldn't answer his emails. And so there was still a resistance.
So God threw you the donut, but you didn't want to get it.
I ate part of the donut, Father. I went on the retreat. Give me some credit.
Okay.
So that, just to answer the question of how could I have known. And so during that time that I was back home, it was about a year, I was still kind of looking online for religious orders and learning mm-hmm. and calling. And I was keeping the fish on the line, so to speak. I was staying kind of attentive and paying attention.
Right. You were eyeing the donut.
Yeah, I was eyeing the donut. Exactly. But just nothing was feeling right. And so after, series of events of different things, I reached out to this priest and I said, I think I should come and just visit you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the biggest grace I received in the retreat was to try to look at God's providence. My everyday life as his language, as his way of speaking with me. And he placed Miles Christi in my path. So, I feel like maybe, it wasn't the CFRs in New York. I'd never met them. So could it have been my vocation? Sure, it could have been. But it made more sense to at least find out the things and the people that he placed in my life directly as possibly the places that he was trying to lead me. So I talked to, diocesan priests first. Why? Because I knew diocesan priests. They were my pastor, et cetera. And that wasn't really a good fit. And then as I thought about this more, these other religious orders I was trying to reach out to, well, first I'm going to go meet Miles Christi. And so I finally had that idea, do whatever he tells you. I kind of had that feeling, that urge from Our Lady of just do whatever he tells you, wedding feast of Cana. And I went and visited, and it was just a click. And I found a place like I was telling you before, where I felt like I could really give all myself.
Right.
It wasn't going to be in any of these other things. But here, and it was really, the community that was here at the time was really a fun community.
We're not fun today.
No, we still are. That's not what I meant to start with. But it was great when I, as I got there, I was blown away by the normality and the goodness. So,
right.
You know, whatever ideas you might have had about this, you know, this crazy saints with their hands folded, their eyes closed, just looking up to heaven, floating.
Right.
It wasn't that. So I got to get rid of that fear or curiosity. But it was just a normal environment.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone working with a lot of zeal and a lot of intensity for apostolate, for the glory of God, for the salvation of souls. And so I was just, man, this is what I want. I can give all my life to this. Right. And so after a week visit, I was ready. And I went back home, closed my bank account, got rid of my stuff. And I came back at a month and a half, 2 months later, and began the immersive discernment, let's say.
Wonderful, wonderful. Very good. So I was going to ask you that. How is it that you, what attracted you to meet this Christian? But you answered it before already. So you already answered that. Why? Right, because, or maybe if you want to summarize the concept, right? Why Milius Christi and not the diocesan priests or the TFRs or the Dominicans? Why? What showed you that this is your place to be?
Okay, it's a really good question. First of all, I think from the beginning, after speaking a little bit with the diocesan vocational director, spoke a bit with him, and then just kind of reflecting on my own, I just realized that I wanted to be in community. I never had the idea of living alone. I didn't say it scared me, but I just had a kind of an aversion to it. So The idea of being by myself in a parish, I had no interest in that. And the attraction that some men feel to running a parish, to taking care of the parish life, I didn't have that either. But the idea of just, you know, being with a group of guys and the apostolic mission, you know, going out. And again, I mentioned before, where did I encounter a religious order? Milius Christi doing what? Traveling and preaching retreats, helping souls, you know, traveling around, helping souls discern God's will in their life. And that's what really attracted me. So the spiritual exercises, preaching the spiritual exercises, because of what they did for me, has always been something that I have loved about our mission and our vocation.
Mm-hmm.
It's super important for me, and it definitely the most attractive thing to me, you know, personally, because that's where I was helped. And so I want to get that back.
Right, absolutely.
Just that zeal for souls that I see in all of you guys, all the priests and the brothers, since the very beginning, and the joy, I think so. In Milius Christi, what I find? Zeal for souls, joy, and just kind of a normality, just kind of a desire to you know, be normal guys at the same time.
Right.
And you can do that. You can be a saint and be a normal, fun guy.
Right. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I tell young people. They have to be saints and be normal.
Right. Absolutely.
Don't be the weird Catholic. Okay. Very good. Well, and if you were to say or recommend something to a young man or young woman who are starting their process of discerning what state in life they should choose, what ideas would you give? One or two ideas. Just, of course, we're not going to discern here someone's vocation. It's just some tips, general thoughts that could be helpful to anyone that is discerning what to do, whether to get married or to be consecrated, or never thought about being consecrated, just thinking about marriage. What would you say?
So I think the first thing that would be, at least, you know, coming out of my experience, and I think I can support myself on the tradition of the church and the saints, is certainly the intimacy with God. So there has to be a communication, because in order for us to find out what we're here for, it's He who's going to tell us. And so I think, you know, the intimacy and familiarity, the open line of communication with God is step one. And if you don't know how to do that, and you, if you find a good spiritual director, or find a good priest, or someone that can kind of help you a little bit, or just start going to adoration and just start talking to Jesus Christ, start talking to Him. And I think that's a good place to start if you've never done it. So open the line of communication. Start talking to Jesus. Then another thing that I think I could recommend is kind of just remembering, reflecting a little bit on that God created us. So He created us and He redeemed us. What does that mean? That means He has the plan of our life and we can totally trust Him. So I should be willing, right? He has earned my trust. He's earned my confidence. And even He's earned the possibility of receiving everything from me. So I think that's a really big click that I had when I realized, you know, I can give my whole life to Him Maybe he doesn't want it. Okay, maybe he doesn't want it. But at least having that disposition, I think we have to have that openness to say, he knows what's best for me, and he's going to give me everything I need to be happy. So open line of communication, and then an openness of heart, of saying, whatever you want, God, you're going to make me happy. So that's a good place, I think, to start.
Perfect. And if I were to add something,
yes,
according to your story, is to do the spiritual exercises, to Google Miles Christie spiritual exercises and try to find some weekend retreat in your area, or not your area, somewhere that you can travel. Actually, this Holy Week, we have two retreats, one for young women, and in a different location, one for young men, hopefully college students, but any young adult.
Yeah, a great opportunity.
That is not for discernment of any vocation, it's just a retreat, and we'll do it throughout the Holy Secret Triduum. So, Holy Wednesday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, ending on Easter Sunday. So if anyone is interesting, any young man or woman is interested in doing a retreat, we're doing those. One is in Lansing for women, and one there in South Lyon, Michigan for men. Just let us know, or just Google it online, and you'll find it. Anyway, very good. Well,
I would actually, yes. Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, of course.
Sorry, I'm going to cut you off there. It's certainly not just to discern your if you have a vocation, right? I mean, that's not the only point of it. I think, you know that well, but I would just say that in case someone hears this, I'm giving my vocation story. It's not, the spiritual exercises is to open us to God's will in whatever that is. So I'm just kind of giving a reminder to all those who might be listening. Wherever you're at in life, you can always be more in line with what God is asking of you, whether that's to, you know, a career, a job of some kind, studies, a married life, or the vocation to the religious life or the priesthood. So don't think it's just, don't be scared about it. Just go. And like I said, just trust, because whatever it's going to be God's leading to, it's his plan for you from the beginning. So just that.
It's going to be a great help to grow in holiness.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Deacon Benjamin, for sharing these insights with us and your stories and your fun stories.
Thank you.
And try to take some cash when next time in the airport.
I don't want to scandalize it.
We will keep you in our prayers so that this time of preparation may help you become more and more the priest that our Lord wants you to be. And thank you, everyone, for spending this time with us. Please make sure you pray for Deacon Benjamin.
Please.
So, and for Father Patrick as well, so that we may be holy. He will be in the future holy priest, and that I may be sooner a holy priest.
I'll pray for you, Father.
Thank you. So, and also, everyone, please share this episode with your friends if you can. And please leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. May God bless you. Thank you, Deacon Benjamin.
Thank you, Father. Thank all y'all for listening.
And also, we'll see everyone next time.